Skip Heitzig points out that unity in the church isn't the same as uniformity. We can all get along without having to agree on every single little detail.
We're all different. And even in God's family, we don't agree on everything. We don't hold the same position on every single thing, and that's okay. You know, the disciples didn't get along. Peter and Paul didn't agree in Galatians. Barnabas, in the book of Acts, along with Paul, had an argument. They didn't agree on certain things. Both brothers in Christ. And so today, there are some Christians who are premillennial. I'm one of those. Others are amillennial. I pray for those all the time. But they're my brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ.
Make the connection.
Way back in 1992, Christian music group DC Talk released an album called Free at Last. On that album is a song called Love is a Verb, which claims that love is a word that requires some action. Well, the same is true of the word church. We most commonly think of the word as a noun, a place we go to worship God. But it's a word that should also be a verb. We should put it into action and take church with us everywhere we go. We'll explain how to do that in today's lesson here on The Connection. But before we get to Skip Heitzig's message, here's how you can find out more about the movement that's had such a huge impact on Skip and his teaching.
Time magazine called it the Jesus Movement. It began spontaneously all over the country. In Southern California, a small church in Orange County exploded, and Calvary Chapel was born.
There was just a total upheaval by the young people against the established society.
Riptide is a new full-length documentary that shows the wild ride of the Jesus Movement, its worldwide impact, and the coming challenges to avoid the old wineskin syndrome that has plagued many dynamic movements in the past.
The worst thing that could happen is the thing that we left in the first place is what we can be in danger of becoming.
Riptide, hosted by Skip Heitzig, featuring dozens of exclusive interviews, including Pastor Chuck Smith, Greg Laurie, Raul Reese, Mike McIntosh, Mark Driscoll.
I think one of the greatest gifts that the Jesus Movement has given the whole church was a renewed sense of interest in church planting.
Riptide, a full-length video documentary shot on location in India, Austria, Israel, England, and across the U.S. Also featuring John Foreman, Phil Wickham, and Christian Stanfill. Available from Connection Communications. Call 1-800-922-1888 or by e-commerce at connectionradio.org. Riptide. Another wave is on the way.
A riptide can be a great thing.
So how do we make the word church a verb? How do you put church into action? Well, it's more than just social action, and we'll find out why it's more than just that and why an active church is the type Jesus would attend as we get today's study started.
And make the
If you would, open your Bibles to John chapter 17. Let's join Skip Heitzig as he shares one person's unusual way of attending church for the first time.
True story. January 26th, in Saxony, Germany, a 23-year-old driver was going way too fast in his car. And as he was speeding down the roadway and he didn't see the bend in the road, his car went off the road into the ditch, up a ravine, and launched 35 yards into the air and landed in the second story of a church building. A freak accident. You see, attending church for the wrong reasons isn't always great to do. True story. Never happened before. This is probably the closest this guy's come to church in a long time. Now, there were three churches in a small Midwestern town. One was a Presbyterian church, the other was a Methodist church, and the other was a Baptist church. And the whole town had a problem, including these church buildings, and that was an infestation of squirrels that year. So the church leadership of all three organizations decided to get together to find out what we do with them. The Presbyterian leadership got together and felt that God predestined the squirrels to be there, so they were just going to live with them. The Methodists decided that they would treat the squirrels in a loving way with the spirit of Charles Wesley and humanely capture them and move them to a secure location at the edge of town and release them, which they did. In 3 weeks, they were all back. The Baptists, it seems, had the best idea. They voted the squirrels in as members of their church, baptized them, and they said they haven't seen them except for Christmas and Easter. If you know anything about the background of those organizations, you'll appreciate that. It's clear that many people see church, and in particular church attendance, as optional and non-essential. Perhaps the problem is with the church itself. And I don't mean a particular church. I'm speaking of all of us in general, God's people. Perhaps the problem is with the church itself. Perhaps we have forgotten or maybe never really were in touch with the whole purpose of our existence. Why do we exist? What is our purpose? What is God's vision for the church? Or to put it in terms of our title this week and last week, what kind of church would Jesus attend? It's easy to answer the question simply by reading the words of our Lord himself, and John 17 is a great place for that because it's the longest recorded and most intimate communication of Jesus with the Father before he's about to be crucified. And in this prayer, there are four characteristics that Jesus wants for his followers and thus wants for his church. Number one, it should be a place that radiates the glory of God. That's number one on the list. We should be all about making him famous and declaring his name, and it's all about him. Number two, it should be a place that reveals God's truth, preaches his word, is unashamed of the gospel, teaches people the truth week by week. And number three and four are we going to cover this week, two more qualities. And both of these qualities really speak to how we interface with the outside world. One thing we must never do, we must never become so heavenly minded that we are no earthly good. We have been accused of that throughout history, that the church is so heavenly minded they're no earthly good. However, there is some dispute as to what it means to be earthly good, and we're going to discuss a little of that today. I heard about a man who was visiting New York City, and he walked by a store, and he noticed a sign in the window that said Chinese laundry. He was on his way to dinner, and so he made a mental note. He goes, okay, I got to remember this. Next day, he shows up at that store with his laundry. He needs to get it washed. He walks into the store, plops it on the counter, and says to the clerk, I want it washed. And the clerk says, you want it what? I want it washed, and I've always heard that Chinese laundries do the best work. And the man smiled and said, sir, this is not a Chinese laundry. This is a sign shop. I'm going to let that sink in a little bit until you get that. But that was one of the signs of the many signs in the window that he saw, Chinese laundry. This is not a laundromat. This is a sign shop. Well, I share that with you because I think churches can send out false signals about their purpose. That is, people come with soiled lives, and the cross is just a sign. Could be inside the church, could be outside the church. We got the sign, but the people inside are not equipped to take soiled lives and disciple them and get them out of darkness into light. So, let's look at the final two characteristics of the church Jesus would attend. Number one, or in the outline, actually, number three, is it's one that rescues the enemies of God. Now, when I say enemies, I mean everybody who's not a believer, the Bible says, is at enmity with God. You know, you're either Jesus' friend or you're not. You're either for him or against him. And we should be about rescuing the enemies of God. Look at verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And look at the 20th verse. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. It's pretty clear then that Jesus was giving a commission to his followers of evangelism, to be sent out. In fact, the word to be sent is apostello. We get the word apostle from it. It means to be sent out and go on a mission. Even as I have come and gone on a mission, I'm sending them out on a mission. So he anticipates that the church, his followers, will go out and do evangelism and have success at their evangelism. That's what verse 20 is all about. Those who will believe in me through their word. Now, for all of my hyper-Calvinist friends, I share verse 20 with you. I want you to notice that God not only elects people, but he elects the means by which those people come to him. And it is through the word or the testimony of his followers, whether that's one-on-one evangelism or the testimony is mass evangelism, God ordains that means by which they come. So, Jesus came to rescue people. I have been sent into the world. In verse 4, he says, I have finished the work that you have given me to do, and he will do that at the cross. And then he went to heaven back, ascended. Now we are sent into the world, so here's the thrust. Jesus is all about rescuing people, and he uses his ambassadors, us, to do that. Here's my mega point that I want to make. The church is not primarily a bless me club. The church is not primarily a entertain me club or pick me up club or help me club, though we should be blessed and helped and ministered to, no question. It is not a place where primarily we should turn inward and really make it about ourselves, except that we are prepared to do something out there, and that is rescue people. Somebody said, church is the only society on earth that exists for the benefit of non-members. Do you recall what our Lord said to his followers, that instead of looking within, he says, lift up your eyes and look at the fields that they're white. It's a great statement. Look around, disciples. Look around at your world in any generation at any time and notice that the fields are already white for the harvest. And he continued, and he who reaps gathers fruit for eternal life. Now, it can happen and often does that over time, churches, organizations will turn inward to themselves. Even though Jesus said, go into all the world, somehow we have learned to interpret that as Jesus saying, come ye to our churches. Instead of church, go ye to the world. And I do think that evangelism can take place in church, at our meetings. It often does, but that's only the beginning. We are to go, we are to be sent. In fact, one of the healthiest patterns, and I see it here so often, is the pattern of saved, serving, and sent. So many times I've watched people come forward, and I've watched them and led them in a prayer to receive Christ. And then after a period of time, they get involved, they start serving the body and serving one another, and then they decide they want to be sent out to the mission field or to start a church or lead a group. But I often see a very good and healthy pattern of saved, serving, and sent. I've been reading a book lately. I didn't bring it with me, but I want to share some of the thoughts. It's about the church, and every time I do a series, I like to take a couple books that will inspire me afresh. And this is a book by a 90-some-year-old man named John Stott. I've read a lot of his books over the years. He just put out a new one called The Living Church. And this 90-plus elder church statesman says he believes that historically the church has failed in precisely this point of rescuing the enemies of God or evangelism. And it's because historically, he says, we have suffered from a false identity. He said the church often becomes one of two things, either a religious club. It's a religious club. It's about our club. It's our country club. Our members come and we enjoy the benefits of our club, and it's about our club and what we do at our club. And do you like our clubhouse? It's a religious club. It's all about the private benefits of the members. This is introverted Christianity, says Stott. The other false identity that can happen is it becomes a secular club. It's all about social service for the community. Well, the church exists not to worry about heaven or hell or eternity or the gospel, but we got to help people in our community, in our town. So it essentially is Christianity without Christ. I believe both can be done. Both a vertical relationship with God of worship and glorifying Him, while at the same time we can adequately, wonderfully serve our community. But, this is vital, the primary way we can best serve our community is to give them the life-changing gospel message that will get them to heaven. Please understand that. If we give people food and Band-Aids and say nothing about how to get to heaven, then all we do is make them feel really good on their way to hell. I don't know any other way to put that except baseline. So the primary way we can serve our community is to be a sufficient light so as to get them from this earth into heaven. It says John Stott, if all churches had been faithful to this, the world would long ago have been evangelized. How do we do that? Well, according to Jesus, I think there's three ways we do it. We do it by knowing something. We do it by growing in that something, and we do it by going out into the world. Knowing your position, growing in preparation, and going out into the world. First of all, you got to know who you are. If you don't know who you are and what you're up against, we'll never do anybody any good. So this is what we're to know. Look at verse 16. They, that would be us, his followers, in context, his disciples, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. That's your position. You're in the world, but you are not of the world. Now, please understand what that means. What the Bible refers to as world, cosmos, doesn't mean the earth or necessarily people, but it refers to a system. The world is a system of belief and activities that is hostile against God, and it is controlled by the devil. He is called the prince of this world. He's called the god of this world. So it's the world system and ideology that is opposed to God and especially Christ. Jesus came here to rescue people. He came here to rescue people. And then he said, I'm sending them out in the world, though they're not of it. They don't fit into, they're separate from the ideology of this world. But I sent them out to do a task. So why is it then that since we're in this world, but now that we're believers, we're not of its system any longer, why are we so occupied, or should I even say preoccupied with the world values? Dwight Lyman Moody from Chicago a century ago said the church reminded him of firemen straightening pictures on the wall of a burning house. What a picture that is it not? Fireman goes in, the house is burning, and one guy goes, you know, I don't think that picture looks quite right. Just move it. What are you doing? The house is burning down. There's bigger fish to fry here. Moody said, the church can remind me of that. So we need to know our position. We're in it, we're not of it. Number two, we need to be growing. We need to be growing in our preparation. That's verse 17, which we touched on last week. Sanctify them or separate them or make them holy by your truth. Your word is truth. Okay, so here Jesus says, they're in the world, but not of the world. Okay? I remember something very vividly. It wasn't long after I prayed to receive Christ back in 19, long time ago, that I felt like I didn't fit any longer. I was a fish out of water. I felt like when I went back to my old friends and my old digs and started hanging out again, I just thought, I am not in my element. This is not who I am anymore. I remember feeling that. It's because I'm in it, but I'm not of it. But for me to be in it and survive well and make an impact well, I need some preparation. And that's verse 17. I get sanctified, made holy by God's truth, which is his word. So this is what we're like. We're like astronauts. Now, you can't go to space just as you are. It's not your element. You need a specialized suit, a pressurized suit, that gives you the elements of the earth to survive in a hostile environment. Or if you were to try to go under the water, you can't breathe water. You need a special pressurized suit that gives you the surrounding elements of this environment for you to survive. And so it is as believers. This world is in our element. The only way we're going to survive the pressure of this world and its system poised against God is to have sufficient pressure from within, by the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God, which is truth, which sanctifies us. That pressure, that realignment week by week, day by day, is what prepares us for the next phase. So we need to know, we need to grow, and then we need to go. That's the third part of this. We need to go. See, our knowing and our growing should always lead to going. And I'll tell you what, it's really bad news when it doesn't. It's really bad news when we know who we are and we start growing in our knowledge and become very theologically adept and we know the fine points of theology and we do nothing with that for the world. We become fat and sassy, spiritually speaking. We need to exercise. We need to be going. That's the whole point of verse 18. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world.
You know, church should be more than just something we attend. It's something we should put into action. In short, church can be a noun, but it should also be a verb. Let's put what we learn when at church to work when we go to our job, to school, go out for lunch, or go to the movies, or when we go anywhere for any reason. And with that thought, we're going to have to wrap things up for today. But here's Skip to remind us about why your support of the Connection means so much.
This is Pastor Skip, and I want to tell you about a recent email we received from, of all places, Mongolia. It said that our Connection broadcast was showing up nicely in the ratings in Ulaanbaatar. It just shows that God's word translates well into any land or language, even in Outer Mongolia. And Mongolia is just one of the countries where the Connection is heard. But we want to do more, and you can help through our Global Connectors program. I want to thank those of you who already are global connectors and invite others to join us as we expand the borders of the Connection. Here's how you can become a global connector.
Well, thanks, Skip. And if you'd like to help support this ministry as a member of the Global Connectors, call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Well, if today's lesson is one that resonated with you and you'd like to review it again later, or it's one that you'd like to share with someone you know, make sure you pick up a copy or two when you call us at 1-800-922-1888. Each copy is available for just $6, and they're also available at our website, connectionradio.org. And as always, anything you share above that suggested donation will help these daily teachings continue, both in your area and around the world. so anything you can share above that suggested donation of $6 would be a big help. Find out more when you call us at 1-800-922-1888 or write us here at The Connection, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection. Whoa, 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 whoa. Make the connection.
We'll take one final look at what type of church Jesus would attend at our next study, so come back and join us as we continue the series, Church, Who Needs It? Here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.